Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No brakes.
No brakes.
No fear.
No fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. In this week's episode, we spotlight everything that's been happening in the Sports Insure Premiership on Monday night with six teams in action. There's also been a few changes to the personnel, including at Leicester, where Richie Worrell is back with the Lions.
I'm excited about it. It's a new challenge, track I love. So, that's good because at least I've got one track that I love.
His old side, Peterborough, see Chris Harris heading the opposite direction, and the Panthers very nearly got the better of the Ipswich Witches. But that man once again, Emil Saifutinov, came through in the final heat.
Next couple of meetings will be the same for us, and we, like I said, we can get some more points, you know, and luck he will be with us.
Our main guest this week is the Sheffield Tigers team manager and joint team manager of the Great Britain Speedway team, Simon Stead. So a long chat coming up with Steady about Sheffield, about signing Ty Woffenden, about GB in the Speedway World Cup, and the big question, are Sheffield going to do it this year?
I believe in the team that we've got, and we will be giving it everything, so let's hope that this year's our year.
And in part three, we'll have a roundup of things that have been happening in the Cab Direct Championship. Of course, it's been rain affected, which has certainly reduced the amount of fixtures. And from the National League as well, where there was a top of the table clash between the Mildenhall Fen Tigers and the Leicester Lions in a repeat of last year's grand final. All on the way.
No breaks, no fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along once again to another episode of No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast. We have a new episode out every Wednesday. Don't forget to like or subscribe or follow or whatever your app asks you to do so you don't miss any future episodes of the podcast. So do that now before you forget, and also leave us a rating and review as well, which helps other Speedway fans locate us through the course of time as well. So we're going to start off with the match at the National Speedway Stadium, which happened on Monday night. You may have seen it on TV. A thriller between the Bellevue Aces and the Sheffield Tigers, with Bellevue producing a storming finish to take the match and the aggregate bonus points from a hard-fought Roses clash with Sheffield at the National Speedway Stadium. The Aces came back from 4 points down to win 52-38, clinching the additional point with a 5-1 in Heat 15 as Jamin Lidsey and Dan Bewley came from the back.
Journey! Up the inside of Ty Woffenden, neck and neck down the back straight. That will seal the deal for Bellevue on the aggregate. Bewley, oh my goodness, he was nowhere on the first lap. Now he's come through into second place, a stunning heat once again. Mujanak trying to come back at him down the back straight. One last blast through the final turn. Lidsey wins it, a massive 5-1, and what a conclusion to the night. The fans are just overjoyed, on their feet. Speedway. Really was. That's what it's all about, people. That really was a demonstration of top draw Speedway in heat number 15.
So Jamin Lindsay racing to a 13+1 score for the home side. Bewley adding 12+1. Rising star Connor Bailey impressing as well, 7+1, with their playoff place now officially secure. New Sheffield signing Ty Woffenden was unbeaten from his first three rides, finished with 10+1 bonus. Tobias Musenak adding another 10, but the Tigers dropped out of the playoff places, albeit with four matches in hand at this current moment in time. Well, we can hear from top scorer for the Aces on the night, and of course winner of Heat 15, bringing home that bonus point as well for the Aces. Jamin Lidsey spoke to Scott Nichols on Eurosport.
Jamin, an awesome performance by the Aces. You secured the bonus point, a stellar night for yourself, but did you have any idea what was going on behind you in Heat 15?
No, I didn't. I made a pretty good start off gate one. Gate one kind of went off towards the end. It goes quite dry, but, you know, I felt like I made a good one. Wolfie got across me, and, you know, I managed to find something on that turn three and four there, and, you know, just hooked up and went. So I'm pretty happy that happened. But, yeah, as I come in and seen there was plenty going on behind me.
I was just saying, just before we come on here, we were having a look at the replays, and it was carnage behind you. I think the Sheffield boys possibly kind of hampered each other a little bit, allowed Dan that big run around the outside.
Yeah, possibly, but, you know, Dan, he's got a lot of track craft here, and, you know, he went out wide, and, you know, it looks like he lost a bit of ground the first time he went out, but, you know, he built that speed up and, you know, managed to get a good cut back and, you know, split both the other boys, and, you know, and finish a meeting like that's always great. You know, that's why the people pay to come see.
They certainly do. Lemo's been a racer himself, and he's a good team manager, but you must have been feeling the heat, a little bit of the pressure during the meeting. What was Lemo saying during the breaks?
Not too much, really. We only got together when we had that bit of an interval, but, you know, he kind of puts his trust in everyone. You know, we're here to do a job. We're all capable of scoring points, and, you know, it's just got to do it on the same night. You know, it's a speedway, as you know, it's quite tough, you know. You got to take it when it's good, and when it's bad, you need to bounce back and, you know, try fight back, and, you know, your day always comes in the end. But, you know, great night, great win for the team, and, yeah, get the bonus point.
It does, mate. You're the defending champions. How important is it for you boys to kind of keep that momentum going and go into those playoffs strong, because it's a fresh slate there?
Yeah, for sure. Playoffs is a new game. We've done a lot more meetings than anyone else. So, you know, we're on top of the table now, but we'll see what happens. You know, I think Leicester have got four or five more meetings behind us. So, you know, they've got a few to catch up on. But, yeah, playoffs is a new game, and we've got to be focused coming into there.
We'll have more reaction from Sheffield boss Simon Stead in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear. So part two, we're going to have a long chat with Simon Stead about that and about all things to do with Sheffield and the inside story on signing Ty Woffenden and what the plan is going forward with regards to the playoffs, of course, because Sheffield now have some work to do. So more about Sheffield to come in the next part, be assured of that. Let's turn our attention now to the other meeting that took place. In fact, there was two other meetings that took place on Monday night, and at Monmore, drama there as well, down to a super heat at Monmore Green as Wolverhampton snatched a dramatic victory over Leicester. It was a 45-all draw after the first 15 heats. The new-look Lions looked set to take an away point when they led by 8 points after heat 9, but Wolves hit back strongly and levelled the scores in Heat 15. But the ultimate decider looked to be heading the visitors' way as Max Frick and Richie Worrell held second and third places, only for Frick to crash on the very last bend, enabling Rory Schlein to come through. Both sides therefore went away with 2 points as the Lions received a point for the draw and also took the aggregate bonus point as well. Schlein top scored for the hosts with 11, Sam Masters scored 9, while Frick notched 11 for a solid Lions side, and Richie Worrell picked up 8 on his debut. Well, let's hear the words of some of those involved, starting with the Wolves team boss, Peter Adams, speaking to Mike Taylor from BBC Radio WM.
Peter, there was quite an adventure one way or another, but I mean, firstly, a word for your track staff to actually get a meeting on at all, because I gather here yesterday it looked very, very difficult.
Yeah, we've had some difficulties yesterday with frequent rainstorms when they were halfway through the preparation, so that hampered us, and tonight, you know, a few of the riders weren't comfortable with the amount of material on the inside, so we had to get rid of that for them. But at the end of the day, you know, the tracks rode well, and it was an absolutely magnificent spectacle.
It was, and all the riders stood up to the challenge. Obviously, the conditions were not what they necessarily expected. They were changing, but we saw lots of different heat winners and some very competitive racing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nip and tuck all the way, and yet again, you know, we managed to get over the line right at the finish with one of these super heats. I think we've had more of them than any other team this season. Is that about four or five of them we've had? So, yeah, I'm very pleased with that. We've got our 2 points, and now we only need another 7 points to make sure of the playoffs. And if we can beat Ipswich here a fortnight tonight, that will cement our position in them.
Yes, I mean, that looks a more important meeting the nearer it comes now, and all the more so after the results tonight.
Yeah, we've got some terrific action still to come here at Monmouth, and I think Leicester were very good value today. I thought they were at least worth the point that they're going home with.
Yeah.
But, you know, our unbeaten record here at Monmouth is intact, and I'm sure that'll come under severe pressure when Ipswich arrive here in 2 weeks' time.
I imagine so. And lots of the riders took credit tonight. We saw some real fighting rides. But I did enjoy Zach Cook holding on to beat Max Frick. I mean, that's quite a scalp to get in any circumstances, yeah, but especially after that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And he couldn't repeat it in the following race when we introduced him. But, no, everybody, you know, contributed something to the match, and overall it was a great advert for the sport.
Certainly was a thriller. Say what you like about super heats, to certainly get fans off their seats, and probably a few team managers as well. Peter Adams there. Let's hear the opposing view then. Very close after regular time, of course, after the first 15 heats. It was all level. Stuart Dixon has been ringing the changes famously over the course of this last week. Let's hear his thoughts after his new look side took to the track for the first time, and certainly ran Wolves very close. He's been speaking to Ryan Guest.
Well, Stuart, first and foremost, that was some night of Speedway, a meeting which had a bit of everything throughout.
Certainly was. A big, massive crowd then. So well, since I've seen a crowd as big as this at Wolves. Don't get me wrong, I've not been here that often, but a nice big crowd and a night full of drama, as you say, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Wolves coming back, fighting back in the end as well, taking it to that super heat, and it looked as though you were going to get that extra point, but a real nasty incident on that last bend for Max Frick.
Yeah, Wolves did come back, as we kind of expected. They had gates 1 and 3, you know, I think it was 3 races out of 4 in the second half of the meeting, and they were certainly advantageous over 2 and 4 most of the evening. They came back in there, they got the reward, they got the draw. I mean, don't get me wrong, we've got 2 points in our pocket as well to take back to Leicester. It's quite important considering Ipswich won away again at Peterborough tonight, so it was good for us. And obviously the super heat, we're in the right place with 30 yards to go, and then disaster, so Max hurt a bit on the track, but the most important thing is he's okay. The result pales into significance. We don't want to lose Max Frick, I can assure you.
Yeah, 100%, like you say, you get 2 points anyway and miss out in the super heat on that last bend, but a few moments throughout the main 15 heats as well which didn't go your way either.
No, Jake Allen was I think he was second in heat 2, and he lifted as well, but you know, these things, they do happen, but they happened to us tonight, unfortunately. From that point of view, it stopped a tactical, I suppose, at one time for Wolverhampton. So you've got, I look at it from both sides, but 2 points is not too bad. We obviously have a new look team out tonight, you know, track conditions, you know.
And you mentioned the new look side there. Obviously it all happened pretty quickly in the end over the weekend. Can never be easy to release a rider like Chris Harris with everything he's done, but like you say, you feel it gives you a more solid all-round look.
No, it certainly can. No, if there was a way of doing a one for one, I would have done it. Unfortunately, I've looked and looked and looked, and the only way I could do it was playing about with points. He was a victim of points. It is unfortunate. You know what I mean? I know he's a great Britain hero sort of thing, but I've got to do what I think is best for Leicester at the time, and I'm glad he's been fixed up with Peterborough very, very quickly.
And like you say, Wolverhampton, never an easy place to come to. Proud of the boys' performance here, and now on to Sheffield on Thursday, where you have already won once this season.
Yeah, we gave Wolverhampton a good go tonight. I mean, on another night, you know, you maybe say we could have won that sort of thing. We might look back, but when I seen the crash, I was just more relieved to see Max Frick not walking back rather than actual results sort of thing. But as you say, we go on to Sheffield on Thursday again. That's the first match of the round two sort of thing. So it's a case of doing as well as we can. Whether we can win again, you know, is open for debate. But we'll certainly be going there in a confident mood again, yeah.
Let's hear now from Rory Schlein, who made a return to the Wolves side, having missed the last few weeks through injury, and found himself in the ultimate decider, the Super Heat. And it was points earned by Rory that saw the win go Wolves' way after Max Frick crashed out on the very final bend. So a dramatic way to finish the meeting, and he's been reflecting on that with Ryan Guest.
Well, all the lads were having to really dig deep. You know, Leicester, as you know, they've made some team changes and probably made them a bit stronger in a way, but They were a strong team before anyway, but yeah, they made it difficult for us. Track staff did pretty good, you know, to get the meeting on. I think if you'd seen what this place was like probably this morning, you would have thought no hope. So yeah, full credit to them. But yeah, track didn't ride how we like it, but no excuses. You know, we all had to adapt, and it just took some of our lads a bit to get used to it. And but yeah, tough meeting. Yeah, I think that's my second super heat or third super heat. I'm not a big fan. I don't like them. But I guess it's good for the crowd. It's good. But just, you know, I think the last thing, I'm just glad Max is all right, because that was an awkward one.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, second successive super heat here at Monmouth Green. You did the business in heat 15. Didn't look like you were quite going to manage it in that super heat. And not the manner in which you'd want to win it. But like you say, you'll take it nevertheless.
Yeah, I think you've got to make your own luck, I guess. But yeah, you know, we got a bit of the run of the grain there. And look, we take it as that comes. You know, Leicester might think they threw it away, but you know, they've caught us on an off night. I think you know, track's not what Monmouth's normally like, but no excuses. But at the end of the day, the points are on the board. You know, we can say this, we can say that, but you know, they're the ones that'll go home that they've thrown away, whether it's luck or unlucky. But yes, 3 points for us.
Some people will say there's some slight concerns at this stage, obviously being taken to two super heats in the last two home meetings, but the way Wolves can look at it, you've still come through and taken maximum points from both of those encounters.
Well, Leicester lost at home to Ipswich last week, so, you know, I guess they've got concerns as well. But look, we do our things our way, and Leicester do things their way, and other clubs will do their way. So we know what we want and what our aim is. So, you know, what everyone else does is up to them.
Yourself individually as well, top scored for Berwick on Saturday, first one back, obviously a really good performance here tonight as well, and getting over that crash now at Oxford a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was, probably came back a little bit sooner than I should have, but I felt reasonably good. But the body, you know, I'm not a young man anymore, and it just wasn't agreeing. So, but yeah, nice way to come back, you know, and two hard meetings I've had. You know, it was against Paul at Berwick, and obviously this one against Leicester, you know, with Max being a GP rider, and Richie knows his way around here, and Lawson is quick as well. So, and Kempy's found his feet, you know, with Leicester, and he was, I think, one of their key riders tonight.
Well, a week's a long time in Speedway. This time last week on this podcast, we were speaking to Richie Worrell, and he'd just been announced as the captain of the Peterborough Panthers. But since then, in the last 7 days, Chris Harris has left the Leicester Lions and gone to Peterborough. And in the opposite direction, Richie Worrell comes into the Leicester side, along with Craig Cook, who has joined the Lions as well. And so let's have another interview with Richie Worrell on how he's looking forward to life with Leicester and how it all came about. What went on?
A phone call from Stuart, and it all happened pretty quick, to be honest. I think he realised that, you know, Peterborough's not quite my strong track. Leicester is, and vice versa for Bomber. And I think I don't care what they speak for him, but I'm guessing he wanted to make a change in the area where Batch was as well, trying to strengthen up in that middle order. And obviously got myself and Craig in. It needed to be a two-for-two job, didn't it? I'm excited about it. It's a new challenge. Track I love. So, you know, that's good, because at least I've got one track that I love. You know, it's like when you're going away to tracks that you don't really like, and then you've got your home track, which you've only ridden on 3 times, and then it's not your strongest. So, for me, it was a no-brainer. Grateful to Peterborough for taking me on at the start of the year and doing everything that they did for me, and up to this point, and you know, sadly I had to move on.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we did speak last week, obviously we were talking about how many home fixtures Peterborough had got left, and you were excited and honoured to be named captain as well. Obviously, like I said, that did only last for a meeting or two now, but like you say, Leicester, a place you know well, a place you perform well at, and the added bonus of being right in that title charge as contenders now.
Yeah, that's nice, knowing that we're up there, and it's tough when, you know, the Peterborough set up there just constantly taking hits, constantly taking losses. It's tough, and it does affect you. You know, but when you're a winner, it definitely does. And I realised that tonight. You know, I come here, and you know, we're pushing all. I think we led the whole thing, to be honest. Pushing all the way. You know, you've got backup in every single rider in the team. You know, if all lads were firing in this, which I don't think all was, you know, said you had a bit of an off night. So if all lads were firing, I definitely think it's a strong team that was with Peterborough. We second lot on the chin, and like I said, it does have its effects on you, and it makes things harder, really, and makes decision. You know, you're not quite as confident in your decisions that you do, and you know. And then when you're chasing Max round, and you know, we're all on very similar engines with Peter Johns and the whole team. You know, and communication's great, and like Stuart, I do love working with Stuart. You know, I've never been quiet about that one. I do love working under him. He's a very passionate man. His attention to detail in his job is phenomenal. So it's nice to go out there and do a job for him, because when you have done it, you know he appreciates, and you know he'd do the same for you. So yeah, you know, I'm where I wanted to be. I'm, you know, where I want to be. So I'm happy.
High praise for Stuart Dixon there, understandably, based on what you've said as well. And on your debut here at Wolverhampton tonight, nice for him to put his faith in you, to put you out in heat 15. And even though that didn't quite go to plan, he stuck with you in that superheat as well, which must be a big boost for yourself.
I've worked with Stuart for a few years now, and he knows me. He knows what I can do, and he knows how to get it out of me as well. So I think that's what swayed the decision of Stuart. You know, we have got, I think, a strong knowledge on each other, really, just with the years that we worked together. And I guess that was his... Maybe it was him showing a bit of faith in me, maybe giving me that bit of confidence. And, yeah, like you said, 8-15 didn't really work out, but I come in and knew exactly what I needed to do. And then, plus, Lanny did jump that start in 8-15 by about 20 seconds, but the referee wasn't looking. In the rerun, obviously, he didn't jump it, and he didn't make the start, so... We was all on a level playing field then, and we actually had a race. Just a shame with Max, you know. Track conditions early on, especially when we walked around, it was terrible. But fair play to the track crew. You know, we give them the time that they needed, and they got it on. They got it. And it was turned out to be really good. Apart from a couple of little ridges, and obviously that's what caught Max out in the end. And hell of a crash, to be honest. We all did well to miss him, but sadly that lost us the match. But at least he's okay, that's the main thing.
Yeah, and like you say, the bigger picture, still a couple more points added to the Lions tally, and sets up the trip to Sheffield on Thursday very nicely.
It does. You know, I almost wasn't really looking. You know, when you're just going away and you're getting beat all the time, I'm on about like the paper camp, you're not really looking forward to the next time you go racing, because like I said, I'm a winner. Whereas I'm looking forward to Sheffield now. You know, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. So yeah, I'm happy about what's happened. I'm happy about what's gone on now. You know, this move, it does suit me, and yeah, I'm excited to get going.
Well, the other meeting that took place on Monday night was at the East of England Arena. It was Emil Saifutinov, though, who raced to a brilliant 15-point maximum as Ipswich kept their playoff hopes alive with a 47-43 win at Peterborough. The Witches had to dig deep, though. They trailed by 6 points with 5 races remaining. Emil Saifutinov was the star of the show once again, as he was involved in crucial 5-1s in heats 11 and 13, the latter of which seeing Jason Doyle go from 4th to 2nd. It was 43-41 to Ipswich with 1 race remaining, but Panthers duo Benjamin Basso and Niels Christian Iversen gated on a 5-1, only for Saifutinov to superbly pass both, with Doyle coming through for 3rd place. A bright spot for the Panthers was the fine show from recent signing Patrick Woidewo, who scored 12 at reserve and twice defeated Doyle, whilst Benjamin Basso impressed with 11 plus 1. Well, let's hear from a few of those then involved in that particular fixture. We'll hear from Rob Lyon, Emil Saifutinov and Chris Harris in a few moments. But first of all, let's hear from the Ipswich Witches team boss Richie Hawkins with Craig Saul.
A must-win situation it was tonight for the Witches here, and coming from behind, that's exactly what you achieved.
Yeah, I mean, we started the meeting brilliantly, and then obviously, yeah, Peterborough really come back hard, and yeah, we got there in the end. It was hard work, but yeah, we had some great performances. I think obviously, you know, Emma was so quick, it's like amazing. But the reserves, I think, really them points from our reserves really chipped in, and that's what kind of won us it, I guess, in the end.
I must give mention as well to Eric Riss. He's had a raw time of it with illness, but he was back on form with double figures tonight.
Yeah, he's great to see him. Like, we just needed to get that win. We got the first win in, like, they got the paid win in heat one, they got the 5-1, and then yeah, you see his just confidence grow throughout the meeting, and that's just what you need. That's how quick it can turn around. So, yeah, I think he's got a meeting Wednesday and then with us Thursday, so another good one on Thursday, and then he's kind of there.
And bottom line is, three away wins in a row, there's no such thing as an easy away win. It does keep your hopes alive for the playoffs.
Yeah, we need, you know, Peterborough look on tonight's showing, they look a good team. So, you know, hopefully they can get some wins now. And, you know, we need the boys to chop some points, like, above us. But, yeah, we can just keep winning and then we'll see what happens.
Richie, congratulations on tonight.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
For the Peterborough Panthers, then, they just can't get the look, can they? Down to a last heat decider, so near, but yet so far. The thoughts of Rob Lyon, the Ipswich team boss, also with Craig Saul.
Yeah, much better performance than last week against Wolves. Missed Vadim Tarasenko tonight. I mean, we scored 7 for him, but with Patrick going away, it limited us to where we could put those rides. But yeah, fair play to Ipswich. Good performance by them, and they hung in there because we had it sort of not sewn up, but pretty much won up to about 2/3 of the way through the meeting. But yeah, better performance, but still frustrating.
I know, but you mentioned Patrick Wodewo, and what a night he's had last week, all about the learning, this night about putting it into practice.
Yeah, different engine tonight, and looks a promising prospect, doesn't he? You know, 12 points, tailed off towards the end, but yeah, great performance tonight. And if he continues that sort of vein of form, then we've got a good prospect on our hands.
And obviously, Chris Bomaharis back in the side. We didn't see the best of him tonight, but it was his first league appearance here at the Showground this season, and he can only put things right again.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Yeah, I mean, he came in tonight fresh, and, you know, by his own standards, he struggled a little bit. But you've got to remember that, you know, when you've got Doyle and Saifudinov in, two or three out of the four races or whatever it is, it's always going to be tough. Not saying you can't beat them, but it's always going to be tough. But, you know, he played a true captain's role, got around the boys in the pits tonight, and hopefully, I say it every week, but hopefully we get Vadim back and we can start winning some meetings.
Fingers crossed for that, Rob. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Let's hear from those on the track then. A couple of the riders. Chris Harris making his debut for the Peterborough Panthers, back to his former stomping ground, of course, and his first visit to the East of England Arena this season, believe it or not, because the way that things have worked out. And first, though, let's hear from a rider who was just in majestic form yet again and really doing the do for the Ipswich Witches. Emil Saifutinov is with Craig Saul as well.
Emil, a wonderful night for yourself and ultimately 3 points in the bag for the Witches.
Yeah, that's why which one is important. You know, it's we won like 3 points, so that plan was before the meeting, and really happy about that.
And it keeps the dream alive, an outside chance still of making those playoffs.
Yeah, we're living for the dreams though, so yeah, we try to do, you know, with everything perfect to get the some points, you know, and we believe, you know, so we can get the playoffs.
A quiet night points-wise for your regular partner in crime, Jason Doyle, although I'm sure he was giving 110% there, but the likes of Eric Griss really stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, this track, you know, is really nice, you know, and it's really enjoy today, you know, to make a good meeting and score some points, you know, for the team. So, yeah, so I hope, you know, next couple of meetings will be the same for us, and we, like I said, we can get some more points, you know, and luck will be with us.
It's a new man in town for the Crendon Panthers, Chris Bomaharis, who joins us now. And Chris, I know you would have liked to have got more points on the board, but only your first league visit here to the Showground this season.
Yeah, obviously always disappointed to not score lots of points, but yeah, first one here this year in the league. So yeah, just trying to find my feet again. What normally I had here last year didn't quite work tonight for some reason. So yeah, we'll bang our heads against the wall and start again.
A tremendous crowd reaction for you when we went on parade earlier on, and delighted everybody to see you here. Was it a surprise, though, to be departing Leicester?
Yeah, no, they always made me feel welcome here, so, you know, I can thank the crowd for that. Yeah, obviously was surprised and disappointed, but, you know, 25 years in it, nothing surprises me in Speedway anymore. So, yeah, it's a shame as how things went, but, you know, pleased with how the boys fought tonight. I think everyone put in a good shift and, you know, rode the best as they could against strong Ipswich.
I was going to say, you do arrive here as captain in that regard there. You've got plenty you can work with there to get those elusive results.
Yeah, I just said before, you know, when we had our track walking, that, you know, we might not be fine with playoffs, but let's finish with some pride and push the teams that come here and upset a few that's got their playoff hopes. So, and obviously Ipswich just picked us tonight, and they, you know, their top two is fantastic, aren't they? You know, Emil was out of his world over here. So, you know, fair play to them. But, you know, we'll keep battling.
Absolutely. You expect no less from Chris Bomaharis. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that brings to an end, really, our roundup of the meetings from Monday. We'll have a look through what the next week is looking like in the Sports Insure Premiership, because it is a busy one, really. Ipswich return home after a vital run of those three successive away wins to revive their playoff hopes. They will hope for no slip-ups against King's Lynn on Thursday. Of course, Ipswich defeating King's Lynn at the Adrian Flux Arena last week. Meanwhile, the Sheffield Tigers host the Leicester Lions at Old Fullerton. Ty Woffenden set to make his home debut in that one as well. And then on Monday next week, there's no regular action because Bellevue stages the Sports Insure British Final. Monday, 14th of August, Dan Bewley defending the title, and the other contenders also chasing a wildcard place for the British GP in Cardiff. By the way, you can get your tickets for this now from the Bellevue website. The draw was also completed on Monday night, and well, it's thrown up some interesting stuff, actually, because Dan Bewley's been drawn at number 15 for the event, which is going to see him face his Aces teammate and 2019 winner Charles Wright in his very first ride. Three former champions are going to meet in Heat 2, Craig Cook, Danny King and Rory Schlein, all drawn together in that race. And the winner of the meeting, of course, or the runner-up, if Dan Bewley wins back-to-back titles, will receive that wild card for the British Grand Prix. September 2nd is the date for that. The draw, in order then, will be number 1, Simon Lambert, number 2, Adam Ellis, 3, Richie Worrell, 4, Kyle Howarth, 5, Craig Cook, 6, Danny King, 7, Rory Schlein, 8, Tom Brennan, 9, Ben Barker, 10, Chris Harris, 11, Steve Worrell, 12, Leon Flint, 13, Richard Lawson, 14, Lewis Kerr, 15, Dan Bewley, and 16, Charles Wright. And I think I remember Phil Morris saying on Monday when the draw was done that I think Richard Lawson might have the luckiest draw historically. I'll wait and see that. That's going to be on Monday night. And of course, it will be also on Eurosport and Discovery Plus. So that's the way things look fixture wise over the next week, just this Thursday, really, and then the British final next Monday. And we'll have all the reaction to that this time next week, of course, on our next episode. Just looking at the league table on where things stand as of after that round of fixtures on Monday. The Bellevue Aces still lead the way at the top of the table. They've ridden 21 meetings and on 38 points, which is still the most meetings ridden of any team in the league. Certainly a few over the likes of the immediate teams below them. Wolverhampton Wolves are in second place as it stands. 17 meetings ridden and 29 points. Leicester a third, 16 ridden and 29 points. At this moment in time, Ipswich are in fourth, the final playoff place, but they've ridden 20 meetings and they're on 25 points, but they are 3 points ahead currently of the Sheffield Tigers, who have ridden 15 meetings and on 22 points. King's Lynn have ridden 17 and are in sixth on 7 points, and the Peterborough Panthers have ridden 18 and on 5 points. So really, you have to say that with Sheffield having those meetings in hand over the Ipswich Witches, at 5 in hand there, they've got 6 in hand over the Bellevue Aces right at the very top. The gap could close up very significantly, but of course, down to Sheffield now. They need to win those meetings. Ipswich have done their bit, and they've still got some more meetings to run, of course, yet. And it'll be interesting to see how things go over the coming weeks. It's going to be a big time. We will hear from the manager of the Sheffield Tigers and, of course, manager of the Great Britain national side as well, Simon Stead, coming up in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, to tell us how they're going to do it.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome back to No Breaks, No Fear. I'm Ian Brannan, and in this section, we are speaking to our special guest this week, and very much been a busy man, both for his club and for his country over the last few weeks. I'm very pleased to say that joining us is the Sheffield Tigers team manager and joint team manager of the Great Britain Speedway team, of course, who won the silver medal at the Speedway World Cup. Simon Stead is with us, and Steady, thanks for joining us. First of all, we'll start with the most recent match, which people might have seen on the TV. Always a big one. Bellevue versus Sheffield at the National Speedway Stadium. A War of the Roses clash. Very, very close, of course, the aggregate point going all the way down to the final heat. But 24 hours on at the time of recording this chat, what are your thoughts on that Monday night clash?
Yeah, naturally, I'm still disappointed. Don't like losing any fixtures. But you know, it does hurt a little bit more against against our local rivals. But it's one of those. We got Louis coming back off of a 4-week layoff with his collarbone injury. Didn't feel like we'd been together as a unit for quite some time with rain offs and all the rest of it. World Cup week, and obviously integrating Ty into our lineup. So. It was a difficult fixture at probably a difficult time for us. So, but you know, that fixture necessarily won't define our season. We know we're under pressure to perform, especially our remaining home fixtures. Ipswich are keeping the pressure on. They've been winning away from home, which they needed to do in order to make things interesting. So we know that we're still under pressure to perform, and that there are fixtures that are going to be must-win ones for us. So a disappointment on Monday, but we need to recover from that quickly. And it's nice that we've got a quick turnaround time and we get to race against Leicester at home on Thursday, of course.
Yeah, you look at the league table, obviously Sheffield have temporarily at least dropped out of the top four. You do have these five fixtures in hand. It is, as you mentioned, it is a little bit of pressure, but with five fixtures, you would be sort of quietly confident, would you, at this point? But obviously you can't rest on your laurels, can you? Because Speedway can be a bit of a cruel mistress at times.
Yeah, I am confident, Ian. I believe in the team that we've got. Obviously, things have been a little bit upset because of the loss of Jack. We obviously replaced him with Ty, which has given the camp a feel-good factor. And obviously, we're trying to do the right thing by the team and by our fans in order to field seven riders and keep up what was a really good July for us. So, I'm confident. We've got some fixtures coming up with a couple of fixtures away at Peterborough as well, which obviously has been a happy hunting ground for us. But we can't take anything for granted. Leicester at home on Thursday is a big match. They obviously won us at home in their first visit of the year, so we're desperate to turn the tides there and get back to winning ways against them. So I think you'd be daft to sort of sit back and relax at this point, especially when Ipswich seems to be in such a rich vein of form. So we need to go about. We can't do anything about what Ipswich are doing. They're obviously keeping the pressure on. What we can do is in the rest of our fixtures. And if we do that, we'll be in the playoffs quite comfortably.
The signing of Ty Woofenden, tell us about that. I mean, that is, you know, you were at the World Cup, obviously the World Cup final. You saw Jack Holder go down. What was your first thought on that, first of all? Because obviously, you know, on a personal level, but also from a Sheffield point of view, that was a big loss. But to bring in Ty Woofenden into the side is a huge coup for British Speedway as a whole, but also for Sheffield. And there's obvious links with Ty's family, with his dad being a former rider, with Neil Machin's involvement and him being his godfather that we touched on last week on this podcast. But he does have big connections with Sheffield. And the second question that goes with that is, what has that done for Sheffield? What's the interest been like in the club over the last week since signing Ty? And what else has it brought to the club?
To answer your first question, Ian, about Jack, naturally I have a duty of care whether I've got my GB hat on or the Sheffield one, and I class him as a friend. So first and foremost, I wanted to make sure he was all right. It was quite obvious very early on that he was in quite a lot of discomfort. So that was really disappointing, and that's really as far as it went in that respect, because his health and well-being is our main concern. When it transpired that it was a wrist injury and that he was going to be out for some sort of length of time, it things then snowballed, and it became obvious quite quickly that we were going to need to do something with a replacement rather than be reliant on guests, which were quite difficult with the fixture question, and obviously trying to pick guests when you know you're on a run up to the playoffs. Hopefully we're in there, and you know there could have been a time where, well, Dan Bewley's done one fixture for us, Kurtz has done another fixture for us, and all of a sudden I felt like that would be giving riders of that caliber another run out at Sheffield when we were going to face them in the playoffs seemed a little bit daft when there was another option. So things have been excellent in the club since his announcement. There's obviously been a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of excitement around the fans and general interest in the club. You know, I've done many, many interviews with local radio and newspapers and what have you, and it's great that we've managed to capture that feel-good factor. He's obviously a big name in his own right. He does put bums on seats, and I've got to say, Ian, doing the deal was very, very straightforward. It was quite evident early on that this agreement could work for both of us, and he was very keen to make this happen. And as we were as a club. So it's been great that we've been able to do that. Sheffield Speedway, bringing Ty Woofenden back to British Speedway is brilliant. The crowd at Bellevue on Monday night was one of the biggest I've seen for a league fixture. So, like I said before, he does put bums on seats, and he will put points on the board for us as well, which is, you know, which is also what we brought him in to do. He's got a job to do for us. He understands that. He understands where we are with regard to the position and our intent to confirm ourselves in the playoffs. So he knows that there's a big job to do, and he's integrated himself really well. He's very hands-on with the rest of the lads in terms of what he brings off track as well as on track, helping the guys with setups and trying to get the best out of themselves and riding the right line on the track. So that has already been very evident from his one meeting he's done. So it's been really, really good. I'm obviously delighted. He's a great lad that I've known a long time, and it's been great that we've been able to bring him to the club.
He certainly started as you would have, you know, you couldn't have asked for better in his, you know, winning his first three rides at Bellevue, and it must be exciting now to see how he's going to go around Ollerton, which is a track that, you know, that in the past he's gone well around, a track that he's grown up around, you know, going back over the years, lots of practice laps around there, and of course winning the Premier League Tyre Riders Championship, I think, way back when as well, and obviously yeah. Very, very, very strong strong over the years. Do you see this now? Now you've got him in the team, do you see this as potentially a longer-term thing? Because, of course, a lot of clubs, he's made no secret of the fact he wants to ride here next year. A lot of clubs have said, or a lot of clubs' fans have hoped that he's going to sign for them. Obviously, he's said about Wolves in the past, we know their issues. But do you hope that this is part of a longer-term strategy, maybe with Ty, with Sheffield now you've got him there?
I think that he'll, his affiliation with the club is strong already. And I haven't looked too far past the initial contract that we've done with him, to be honest, Ian, because, you know, what's important is what's going on right now. I think if things work for the club and work for Ty, then keeping him for next season will be a natural progression for us both. But I won't be the only team manager that's trying to get him into their team if he decides he wants to commit to British Speedway full time. So I hope this gives us a foot on the ladder, and if he enjoys himself this season with us, then perhaps that will give us an advantage. But that's really something that we'll look at moving forward, because there are more important things that are going on right now with regards to cementing ourselves in the playoffs and trying to get the best out of the team for that.
Looking ahead to your next fixture then on Thursday against the Leicester Lions, a team that themselves have made some fairly big changes as well over the last week or so. In fact, earlier on in this podcast, we had Richie Worrell on, and last week he was being announced as the captain of Peterborough, and now he's riding for Leicester. So it's a different proposition of a Leicester side that you'll have faced before.
Yeah, and like I said a little bit earlier, Ian, they're the only team that have come and beaten us at Alderton this season. So we really want to turn that round. There's been changes. I'd go on record as saying I was as shocked as anybody to see what was going on there. I didn't know who'd been sacked from where and who was going where at one point. It was all a lot going on. So still unsure of the finer details of that, but obviously they have made changes. Whether or not they're stronger, I guess we're yet to see. But they will be tough at Sheffield. They have got riders that ride our place very well. So we will need to be on the top of our game. It's a tough ask for Ty, because obviously he's coming in having not ridden Sheffield for a long time. Bellevue is a little bit different. He's obviously had meetings there whilst he's not been riding in the UK full time. So Sheffield will be a little bit more difficult, but he's world class, so I expect him to step in there and do the job that he's been brought in to do. And I think we underperformed as a team last time that Leicester came to Sheffield. So our aim is to turn that round very quickly and make sure we're dominant and on the front foot like Sheffield this year. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a full house. There's obviously been a lot of interest with Ty's announcement, but Leicester often bring a good group of fans as well. I know there's been a lot of interest around the club with everything that's going on. So it'd be great to see a packed house. I know Ty's got a lot of friends and family coming. I know James Toseland's coming down as well. So there's certainly a buzz about Sheffield Speedway right now, and we want to capitalise on that, and we want to send our fans home happy. So we'll start that with a win on Thursday against Leicester, fingers crossed.
And the weather's set to be, I think, you know, bit of a heat wave coming, I think, Thursday as well. I mean, it's only going to last on Thursday, but that should be long enough for you, so you should have good conditions there as well.
But as a team manager or promoter or rider, you just get used to scanning those weather apps, don't you, and just sure that the weather's okay for race day. So I was already scanning that and looked like we were in for a bit of a treat weather-wise this week. So let's hope that helps and gives people confidence that they can turn up in good numbers knowing that the meeting's going to be on.
And just looking back from the weekend prior, the Speedway World Cup, a brilliant result. I think the best result since, was it 1992 on a foreign track. So, you know, I know frustrated, disappointed perhaps with not getting the gold medal, but a silver medal in Poland and taking Poland to the very last lap of the final is a, you know, a huge achievement to be proud of, I think.
I think when you put it into context like that, Ian, it does show the progress and progression that we've had as a nation. We've got riders that are hungry to ride for Great Britain, that are giving it their best. We've got a fantastic backroom team in Chris Neville and Jeremy, Rebecca, Rob and Vicky giving us everything possible to help us progress. And there's lots of people that are involved in that make it all work, that give the lads confidence that they can go out and do their job knowing that we've got their backs and we're doing the best job we can for them. And we've got a very happy camp with riders that are enjoying riding for us. And I think that does show in results on track. Two silver medals and a gold medal in the last 3 years is certainly nothing to be sniffed at. We've seen our world ranking go right up there. And when you say that, that's the best result that we've had on foreign soil since 1992, then it does show that we are heading in the right direction. However, I understand people's disappointment and frustration that we didn't manage to get it over the line. It does still feel like a gold medal lost rather than a silver medal won. And I understand that. And, you know, I've seen various comments online and it's been very, very positive. And so it should be. There have, of course, been the odd negative comment saying we threw it away and this, that and the other. But I think as co-team manager of the Great Britain Speedway team and as riders of the nation, then you have to expect that at that level we're going to receive some level of criticism if we haven't won a gold medal. And again, I think that just shows the level of improvement that we've had over the last few years when I can remember very, very well we were scrapping and most of the time not managing to win a bronze medal. So I take heart in the fact that I believe that we're heading in the right direction and we've got a great group of riders that are progressing and there are even better times to come.
I mean, look at America. You know, they were once ruling the world, weren't they, if you go back to the 1980s and so on, and now they've, you know, dropped away on the international scene, and it takes a long time, and this work has been going on for many years to get a youth system which is now delivering results as well behind the current riders. So you must look at what's coming up. You see the rising stars that are around in the Premiership, of course. You see them, you know, every week, not necessarily for your team but for the others as well, and there is a good level of talent both there and in the, say, the Championship coming upwards as well.
Yeah, exactly that, Ian. There's plenty going on. We're fortunate to have fantastic people involved in the Great Britain Speedway set up, you know, ATPI, Richard at Rentruck, you know, those sort of people that are helping with the youth development, Academy Days, Jason, Rory. You know, we are working overtime to try and give our younger riders every chance of success on the big stage. And I think when you look at the average age of the GB team in comparison to the guys that we were competing at, that also tells you that we're heading in the right direction. Tom Brennan is, 22 years old and has already got a silver and a gold medal in his cabinet. And he's very, very hungry for success, desperate to be involved in the GB setup, puts his name forward for anything that he can do. He was talking to Ollie and I about being involved in the World Cup right at the very beginning, as soon as it got announced, what have I got to do to be involved in the setup? What do I need to do? And we do have other fixtures, of course, in. We have commitments with European pairs. There's under-23 fixtures. There's European team fixtures. And all these things come into consideration when picking a team for the World Cup. So it's great that he's so hungry for it. Adam as well, who's put his hat in the ring for anything. And then obviously to be led by a 3-time world champion in Ty Woffinden. We've got a great setup. The riders that are coming through, looking at riders like Rob Lambert and Dan Bewley, who are showing great progress, not just in the league, but in the World Championship. So things are bright and things are heading in the right direction. So it's certainly not from lack of hard work. It's not from lack of effort that we didn't win gold. We just fell a little bit short this year. But I think when you're competing against Poland, in Poland, who are without doubt the most dominant nation in that particular competition, and we've taken it right to the wire, then, again, we have to take heart in the fact that we gave it everything. And, yes, we fell a little bit short, but Poland no longer are a nation that we fear. We actually can't wait to take them on. And given the opportunity again, I think, perhaps results might have been different.
It could easily have been different, couldn't it? Could easily have been different were it not for the, to say, down to the last lap. So you're definitely on the pace there. And it was, as a meeting, though, just as, as a neutral, if you like, even, it was a fantastic final overall. Some great racing and a thriller going right to the very end as well. From a speedway spectacle, fantastic to be involved in that, surely.
Well, it was a World Cup that absolutely delivered, and when we've not had it for quite a number of years, I think there's a lot of interest around it. I know Discovery were pushing it everywhere in terms of what they expected viewing figures to be like, and to have an event that really delivers like that, the racing. The fact that it went right down to the wire. I've had people talk to me about it, ask me about it, tweet me about it, send me direct messages on social media about it that are perhaps casual fans, not necessarily out and out Speedway fans. It really did capture the interest of lots of people. And I think when you've had something that's delivered like that, that level, then Speedway really is a world-class sport when you've got a meeting that delivers like that. And I think anybody that enjoyed it as a neutral, as a fan, as somebody who might take an interest in it on a casual basis, I think anybody that watched that meeting will want to watch another one.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a thriller for all. And coming up next, of course, you've got the Leicester meeting this week, then nothing on Monday because it's the British final. But of course, you've got a few Sheffield riders involved in that, and as a Great Britain manager, you must be curious to see how that's going to go as well. There's always one or two surprises, and of course, not only the British Championship up for grabs, if Dan doesn't win that, there's going to be a big opportunity for one of the other riders to head to Cardiff too.
Yeah, and it's a meeting I always loved as a rider, and will like you said, take a keen interest. I've been asked to go do co-coms with Kelvin for Eurosport, so I'm really looking forward to that. Great to keep an eye on what's going on there. And that meeting, it means so much to everybody in that field. It always produces, doesn't it? Just looking at the past few, Bellevue's a fantastic racetrack. Andy Meredith and his team do a fabulous job of making a really, really good racing circuit. And it will be the same as it always is. It will be a great racetrack. It will be all the riders going at it, 10-0, and all chasing the dream of being British champion. So it great meeting in prospect.
And obviously, when you were racing British Championships, it moved around circuits a little bit, didn't it? It's now obviously at the National Speedway Stadium. But what are your personal memories of these days, of British final days?
Throwing one away at the old Bellevue, that sticks with me and still hurts a little bit. But it's something, obviously, I would have loved to have won a senior British Championship. It didn't happen. I did finish third the year that I was just talking about, but I did feel like that year I was good enough to win, and that one probably sticks out more than any. But I think, given a different Bellevue racetrack, I think I would have had more chance of maybe adding to those podiums or even winning one, because certainly the new Bellevue would have suited me much more than the old one ever did, really. So I don't have that chance again, but it's a great meeting as a spectacle. And I know how much it means to all the lads. So it will be, and like you said as well, having the extra incentive as a wild card at Cardiff really does make every point count. So really looking forward to it. Ian, great memories of riding it. Like you said, here, there and everywhere. But perhaps the majority of the time I was racing in it, it was at Wolverhampton and, Bellevue and a few others along the way that probably didn't suit me quite as well. But I would have loved an opportunity at the new Bellevue. I would have loved an opportunity to have raced a senior British title at Sheffield or somewhere like that. Would have suited me a bit more. But I still look at those days. And look, a third place, I can't remember exactly what year it was, but a third place at Bellevue. You know, I did stand on that rostrum, and not everybody can say that.
Certainly not. Never take that away from you. Well, look, thanks for joining us, Steady. Always good to catch up, and all the best for the rest of the season. I guess the big question that the Sheffield fans will be wanting to know is, this year, is it going to be a repeat of last year, but with a Sheffield win come the end of the season? And you've got this great support as well, by the way. You Ben 2 Barmy Army who go absolutely everywhere. I mean, they bring a great atmosphere to the club as well, don't they, wherever they go, and that must carry you through, and for those guys and for everyone else, you must be hoping to go one better this year.
Absolutely love those guys. You know, it's been brilliant. The atmosphere at Sheffield, the atmosphere away from home, come and make a lot of noise. I know the lads love it as well. They can hear it and they take heart from it. So they've really been our eighth man this year. So I would love to repay those guys. I would love to repay our faithful fans with another league title. We know how difficult it is. We took it down to the wire last year and just missed out. But we are gunning for it. I believe in the team that we've got, and we will be giving it everything. So let's hope that this year's our year.
Simon Stead, team manager of the Sheffield Tigers, and of course the Great Britain Speedway team as well. Thanks for joining us on No Breaks, No Fear. And coming up in the next part of the podcast, we'll have a roundup of what's been happening in the Championship, the Cab Direct Championship, and the National League as well. Plus, we'll hear from Dave Howard and Jason Gardner, the two team managers between the Mildenhall Fen Tigers and the Leicester Cubs, who both met last weekend, with Leicester finally ending Mildenhall's unbeaten home record. And that's all on the way in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
In this section, looking at what's been going on in the National Development League and the Cab Direct Championship first, and we'll begin in Plymouth, where the Plymouth Gladiators were due to be having their first home meeting in some 7 weeks on Tuesday when they were hosting the Berwick Bandits. Now, despite an assembled crowd, assembled riders, bikes warmed up and BSN in presence ready to screen the meeting, in fact they were live, a delayed start time was announced and then issues with the track arose, with a decision eventually taken by all of the riders together that after a vote decided not to go out and race the meeting. Richie Worrell and Leon Flint went out as a member from each side to have a go on the track, race a bike round a track and see how it felt, and off the back of that little test experience they decided that really it wasn't worth the risk. We can hear from the two team captains now, and slightly differing opinions here. We'll hear from Ben Barker of the Plymouth Gladiators in a moment, but first of all, Berwick's Leon Flint speaking to BSN's Lee Kilby.
So Leon, if I could come to you first, just talk us about the thought process into you doing some laps and then obviously what you experienced.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not being funny. Everyone, you know, wants to get the meeting on. You know, it's not like a 5 minute drive, you know, it's an 8.5-9 hour journey back home for me, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're not puppets, but it has to be safe. And you know, I put my name forward to represent the boys, and you know, it just wasn't safe. You know, you could probably go and do a couple of laps playing a blow, but you know, we're here to earn a living, we're here to earn money. There's no chance you're telling me, you know, you're coming up the inside of someone and you're going to shut off. It's just not going to happen. And you know, I'm just glad tonight it didn't take, you know, someone to snap themselves to jacket. So you know, I think, and 80% of the, or 95% of the riders, you know, have agreed with the call that's been made. So, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, some sense has been seen.
And there was a general consensus, a general feeling that, you know, riders wanted to get it on, they want to ride. But having watched you and Richie go out there, a rider can go around and put in four laps on their own. But when you've got three other riders with them going into that first turn where you couldn't really turn anyway, that is essentially where the problems would really start, isn't it?
Well, all you've got to think is when the four lads are at the start, you know, it's not a big first corner. It's you know, you're all up there with each other, and you know, my eyes, I just think a lot of injuries have been saved tonight. But yeah, like we say, everyone that's here wants to get it on. You know, it's a day of our lives wasted. You know, and it's not fair on the fans. You know, I can understand why they want to get it on so much. You know, they've had loads of rain offs, but unfortunately, that's, you know, the game of it. And like I said, you know, we shouldn't have to feel like we have to go and ride under them circumstances, which we, you know, we haven't. But yeah, like I say, I think the right call's been made.
And I think the vast, vast majority of supporters, people watching, would appreciate the fact that you and Richie went out and put some laps in, and would agree with you 100% that the last thing we want to do is see anybody injured. So I'll let you get back and pack up. Safe trip home. All the best, Leon. Ben, you seem more animated than most in and around that situation. Disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the rider safety is paramount. We totally agree with that. You know, I don't want to see anyone get injured. But I honestly don't, you know, I think we could have given it a go. I mean, I put myself forward to go out.
To go out and ride.
And they didn't want me to go out. Because I'm not going to be on, you know, I think I'm going to go out there, and I like these conditions, you know. They were going to be tricky. But like I said, if we had to grade it every heat, I know it's track the race and to take the berms off, it would have come good. I know this track. I've rode here for years, everyone knows. I know this track. And I, you know, sometimes, you know, we've got to look at the bigger picture, and, you know, there's a lot of unhappy fans and things like that, and I do feel we could have got this on, but I got to look after my team. Didn't want to ride as well, being put as my first meeting, you know, so I got to take that on board as well. It's hard, you know. We've got Ben Trigger at reserve. He would have struggled in them conditions. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
So we do have to look at the rider safety, but I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I still think we could have given it a go.
And is it in that scenario and situation, do you have to have 14 riders all say, yep, we'll give it a go? if one rider steps forward and said, no, I'm not, I don't fancy it, does that affect then the decision? Just so that the public at home have got an idea? Or
if I'm honest, I don't know what how you do that. I don't know, because some of us wanted to give it a go and there was a lot that didn't. You know, it's hard to say what you need, whether you need seven to ride or, because you still got the seven that don't want to ride. So I mean, the referee was very patient. We give it, I mean, yeah, it's just one of them things.
Yeah, and I have to say I was in the change rooms with you guys when the decision was made. It was all very amicable. Everybody, the vast majority seemed to be on the same page, and it's a tough one because you don't want anybody to go out and get hurt. No. And ultimately, the be all and the end all, that's paramount.
Don't get me wrong, that's paramount. No one gets hurt, and that is fact. Listen, like you say, it's our jobs. We've all got another meeting tomorrow. Well, no, we haven't, but you know, we've all got another meeting coming.
We've got Friday,
Friday at Glasgow, so we do have to look at that, and we do want to race on Friday. I don't want to be injured, so.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I wouldn't have minded of having a go and just seeing what the track was like. You know, I haven't rode a bike for 5 weeks and I'm still willing to have a go. So,
you
know, if Glasgow gets rained off, I'm going to the British final with 6 weeks, no meetings.
Yeah.
That ain't the ideal preparation for a British Championship.
I'm with you all the way. All right, well, Ben, appreciate you giving
us
your thoughts.
No worries. I'd like to thank the BSN people as well for tuning in. Sorry we didn't get it on.
Strange week in some respects because we've had quite a few rain-offs once again over the past 7 days, and also the abandonment, unfortunately, of the fixture between Edinburgh and the Poole Pirates. Edinburgh heat leader Kai Thompson taken to hospital after developing food poisoning-like symptoms. Thompson had recorded a full maximum in the Monarchs' recent home win over Berwick despite feeling unwell and underwent tests at hospital. It meant that he missed the abandoned home clash with the Poole Pirates, which was unfortunately abandoned when photographer Peter Hill was injured during a freak incident which caused a halt to the whole meeting after Craig Cook's bike cleared the fence. Thankfully, Peter is making a full recovery after that frightening incident, and best wishes to Peter, who's a well-known figure around a number of tracks, especially around Scotland, of course, as well. Gary Havelock, meanwhile, the Poole Pirates co-boss, especially for those northern fixtures, believes the Pirates are in a stronger configuration with Richard Lawson having taken over at number one. The reigning champions were victorious at Berwick on Saturday and looking to chase down leaders Oxford ahead of their clash at Wimborne Road on Wednesday. Javi saying, he says, I've seen a big difference in the Poole side since Richard went to number one. Some riders are natural number ones and Richard is certainly one of those. Meanwhile, the Berwick Bandits have made some changes to their side, not least replacing Thomas Jorgensen, who was injured in the previous week's trip to Edinburgh, suffering some serious neck injuries. Pleased to say that Thomas Jorgensen is now home from hospital and beginning his recovery, but he's going to take some time. Berwick boss Scott Courtney has signed Hans Anderson and Steve Boxall and is satisfied so far with the two incoming riders' efforts against Poole last Saturday, and says there's definitely more to come. They couldn't help avoid a 40-50 defeat, though, to the defending champions. Red Car boss Gavin Parr has urged supporters not to expect too much of youngster Luke Harrison, who's currently picking up regular standing outings for the Bears, while Jake Mulford is out injured. Harrison recorded his first race win at championship level in recent home win over leaders Oxford. Gavin Parr saying, I was surprised by Luke's 5 points, but let's not get carried away. We have to remember that Luke is at the start of what looks to be a very promising career, but good luck to Luke, who's continuing his development. Glasgow have announced plans for a new academy and training track as the football club moves out of the Peugeot Ashfield Stadium. The Speedway Club can now utilise the pitch on the inside of the current track for a training circuit to encourage local youngsters to take up the sport. Club owner Jerry Fasena said, from the moment we bought the club in late 2014, it's always been our intention to have a training circuit at Ashfield. It's an exciting new era. We have immediate plans for a multi-purpose circuit on the inside of the current track. This will allow for bikes of all sizes so youngsters of all ages can begin their speedway journey at Ashfield. Scunthorpe promoter Rob Godfrey had no option but to call off last Friday's home clash with Berwick, but predicts a cracking contest in store this week. He said the track has already taken a battering from rain earlier in the week, plus further rain showers predicted for later on that day. We didn't want anyone to have a wasted journey. Looking at the week ahead in the Cab Direct Championship, leaders Oxford visit the reigning champions, the Poole Pirates, in a massive clash of playoff contenders on Wednesday at Wimborne Road. That fixture will be live on BSN. Elsewhere at Perry Bar, Birmingham look to get back up to the top six as they host Redcar. The Bears take on Edinburgh on Friday, whilst the Pirates travel to Scunthorpe. Plymouth are finally back in action this week with a home clash against Berwick on Tuesday, and then a trip to Glasgow on Friday. That fixture will also be on BSN this week. And Berwick host Birmingham in another vital contest just outside the top six on Saturday. So that's the way things look in the Cab Direct Championship. In the National Development League, then, a roundup of what's been happening there, and certainly some big clashes this last week. Dan Thompson's brilliant Heat 15 ride at Mildenhall took reigning champions Leicester to the NDL Summit with a 46-44 victory. Cubs boss Dave Howard has been speaking after the fixture.
Yeah, everybody played their part. But going 8-15, coming from third to first to clinch the win was an amazing ride, to be honest. Especially on the track as it was, which was uncomfortable for some today. He just, the way he came round and underneath Botello and Conklin was just amazing in 8-15 to clinch the win. Everybody played their part. Everybody had some good rides. And some really crucial rides to keep us in touch. And with that now takes us to the top leagues. Obviously we move on to Berwick next Saturday away, but great performance by everybody today.
As a result, Mildenhall saw their unbeaten home record ended and now need points on the road to protect their place in the top two. Josh Warren suffered concussion in Heat 12 before Alfie Botell and Lee Complin were upstaged by Dan Thompson in the decider. Here's the Fen Tigers boss, Jason Gardner.
Well, Jason Gardner, the team manager for the Fen Tigers, joining me now. And Jason, I know, just desperately disappointed to come up just so short in the match here this afternoon. But what a meeting, and obviously thoughts paramount with Josh Warren.
Yeah, all being well, it looks like Josh is suffering from concussion. It looks okay in himself, but we'll find out a bit later on. But yeah, entertaining meeting, frustrating to lose today. We had a little bit of bad luck for a few riders and possibly a little bit race rusty for some of them, but we dust ourselves down and we go again.
I know, positives to take out of the match. The biggest one, I guess, in particular, that first paid race win for William Richardson, that's a real tick in his box.
Yeah, definitely. He's improving week by week, and you can see by his gating, he's improving all the time, and he's then in the mix on the first bend, which is what half the battle's about, and he's learning all the time, and obviously he had four rides again today, and he's trying, and he's in the mix sort of thing.
I know, disappointment over the result, but the race for a championship playoff spot is in the final is still not yet over. Matches away at Kent, Armadale, and indeed potentially at Leicester as well, can win some of those points back.
Yeah, we're very much still in the mix. The boys all still want to get to that grand final, and I don't see no reason why we can't go away and pick up some away wins to push us on, and whether we finish third or second, we're still in the final, so yeah.
And of course the next one of those is that match away at Kent in a couple of weeks' time, and looking forward to that one. Big opportunity, as you say.
Definitely, that's another track. Most clubs are winning there, so that's one where we need to make sure we win a win. But we know what we do. We've done one there in the knockout cup, so the boys know what to do, and that's the track we need to go and target maximum points from.
Jason, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Kent boss Jamie Willis said his side had produced exactly the right reaction to their pre-meeting team talk ahead of a 50-40 win over Workington on Sunday. Willis said, "I'm absolutely delighted with the performance and the results. We thoroughly deserved it. Our top four all recorded a minimum of two wins each, which helped us massively. And they were supported by Connor King, who's starting to show that his confidence is returning." Meanwhile, Workington boss James Denham still optimistic of taking the aggregate point from Kent when the sides meet at North on Saturday, following that 50-40 defeat at Iwade. Denham said, "We were disappointed not to get the win, but these things happen. However, Connor Bailey was class, and his Heat 15 ride was something special, especially for a track he'd never seen before." And Oxford bid to get back into action with a new-look reserve pairing has been thwarted. Their home clash with Kent on Tuesday was postponed. Peter Schrock said, "I'm excited to see how Luke Colleen and Jason Garrard pair together. Luke's been itching for a go for a couple of weeks now, but the weather simply hasn't been kind. Jason is in the same boat. Here is the week ahead then. Leicester moving to the top of the NDL table with their win at Mildenhall last weekend. Lion Cubs now travel to Berwick on Saturday. Meanwhile, Workington host Kent at Northside, with the Royals bringing a 10-point advantage for the aggregate point. And that's the way things look in the National Development League. A full run through the week ahead's fixtures to round things off then. And starting on Wednesday, Cab Direct Championship, Birmingham versus Redcar, Poole versus Oxford, both at 7:30. Thursday, it's Sports Insure Premiership action, Ipswich versus King's Lynn and Sheffield versus Leicester. Friday, Cab Direct Championship, it's Glasgow versus Plymouth, Redcar versus Edinburgh and Scunthorpe versus Poole. Saturday, Cab Direct Championship between Berwick and Birmingham. And then there's National Development League action at Berwick straight after that as Berwick take on Leicester. Workington also racing against Kent. That one gets underway at 3 p.m. And then no action Sunday. Monday, it's all about the Sports Insure British Final. National Speedway Stadium at Bellevue. 7:30 the start time in Manchester. And then next Tuesday, the Cab Direct Championship is back with action between the Plymouth Gladiators and the Redcar Bears. And that one is also going to be on BSN. So it's certainly going to be a busy week for me next week. And this podcast may well indeed come from the Coliseum next Tuesday. Who knows? It'll certainly come from there or the National Speedway Stadium. There's no two ways about that because I think I'm away the whole week. So it'll be somewhere on the travels. And we'll join you next week for that. It'll be available next Wednesday, possibly. Hopefully in the morning, maybe Tuesday night. We'll see how we get on. But we'll join you next week for the next episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Enjoy your week in Speedway, and the weather's looking good as well. Fingers crossed, we'll catch you next week. Take care.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.